DW.
The winemaker's parade runs every year between half-timbered houses and across the Mosel River in the town of Bernkastel-Kues. Trumpet players wear yellow tunics over billowing white sleeves.
Here's the medieval knight with his sword. There's a woman here wearing a fox draped around her neck and drinking out of a black horn.
They celebrate centuries of winemaking here on slopes that Romans planted with grapes.
The places where the sun melts the snow first have been known for, you know, thousands of years.
Johannes Selbach drives me to his vineyard on a narrow road high above the riverbank.
When you drive on this dirt edge, I get so nervous, Johannes.
No worries. Driven it many times.
He's 58. For as long as he can remember, Selbach's family made a specialty wine here. They'd leave some grapes on the vine long after the September or October harvest. The grapes would freeze like marbles, and he'd go out in the frigid early morning hours in winter to pick them.
And you bring them home, you put them on the press immediately without crushing, and you squeeze the grapes into an ice ball.
The grape juice that comes out makes a concentrated tart and sweet dessert specialty known as ice wine.
And that's becoming extinct.
Extinct because the weather doesn't get cold enough in these parts anymore. The German Wine Institute says the production of ice wine has declined in recent years, and there may be almost none from the 2017 harvest.
This way, yeah. There should be a slip in the hedgerow. Let's go around here.
Johannes walks uphill between trellises. They're heavy with green, speckled Riesling grapes. He breaks off a cluster and takes a bite.
Try these here.
It's gentle.
There's sweetness, but there's good acidity. It's not thick, sweet, sugary. That's why I want to go early.
By go early, he means he'll pick the grapes a month ahead of schedule. But that might be a good thing for the Riesling industry. In the past, German winemakers worried their grapes wouldn't ripen enough, which makes for thin, acidic wine. Some of them added sugar to boost the alcohol content. These days, the grapes are naturally sweeter because of the sun. And Selbach worries about his grapes getting too sweet in the heat. So he's buying land in the shade or on hilltops where they'll ripen slower. Down the river, I visit neighboring winemaker Ernst Losen.
So, and the first wine we're going to taste is our what we call estate Riesling.
Losen says he's also noticed his wine is a little sweeter. So have his customers.
People found out, oh my God, people love it.
Losen's family has been in the winemaking business for about two centuries. He says the grapes used to be so acidic that his grandfather would age wine for as long as 8 years to mellow out the flavor.
I don't want to have the time back of my grandfather's and my father's days where they had only three vintages in a decade getting ripe and had to deal with seven vintages in 10 years, which had been from awful, undrinkable, to very mediocre.
Losen says the grapes can handle the heat. In 1999, he invested in a Riesling estate in Washington State in the U.S.
Here we have 1,100 sunshine hours a year, average, on the Mosel. Washington State is supposed to be the Riesling growing area in the U.S., has 3,000 sunshine hours a year.
To grow Riesling there, Losen plants the grapes closer together, at high elevations. He irrigates them, and he keeps leaves on the vine for shade.
There's so many viticultural tools to fight this global warming thing,
Merken Sie, dass Ihre Schleimhäute ganz anders strapaziert werden. Die werden plötzlich ganz stumpf.
That's Ulrich Fischer leading a wine tasting session at the Neustadt Wine Campus where he teaches. He's drinking Pinot Noir, a red wine that was once rare in Germany.
More sunshine, less rain.
Fischer, a wine scientist, says this year more than a third of the country's vineyards are planted with red grapes.
We could not achieve a pleasurable and nice, decent red wine without climate change.
He's helping teach growers to adapt to hotter temperatures. And he says Germany recently changed its wine laws to allow for irrigation of vineyards in dry areas of the south.
Okay, I just have to work a bit. Könnt ihr gerade noch einen Moment warten und die anderen, die kommen zu euch, denn ich muss hier...
Du machst das, was du machen musst.
Genau. Winemaker Heike Darting pours the new possibilities of German wine. She serves Riesling along with glasses of Pinot Noir, Portuguese Rosé, and sparkling Blanc de Noir, all wines made from red grapes. I meet Darting at the world's largest wine festival, held in the German town of Bad Dürkheim. The festival takes place each year at the same time, but the grapes, they have their own schedule.
We are a little bit... stressed out at the moment because normally I do the days, my brother does the nights here, and if there's harvest, my brother is harvesting and spending his nights in the cellar instead of being here. So I do nights and days. Das geben Sie zurück. Da war kein Fass drauf, ne? Alles klar, danke schön.
So she's on a double shift. Climate change may benefit Germany's winemakers, but they'll have to scramble to take advantage. For DW, I'm Daniela Czeslow in Bad Dürkheim.
DW.